move it if you need to.
I may have to.
I feel like one of those dignified television preachers now. You know, I'd like to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank each and every one of you for all your prayers for us and for praying for us and your kindness and encouraging us. And it seems like that God knows just exactly when that for you say what you do to me. You know, I get down a lot, and if I told you I did not, I'd be lying to you. I have my own little pity parties. And I think nobody's going through what I'm going through. But yet, I turn around and look on the outside, away from me, and I see a lot of other people going through a lot worse than what I am. And I just thank God for taking care of me. Amen. And I want to thank God for my church. The church has helped me a lot more than you can imagine. But any one thing that I want to do, as long as I've got breath in my body and able to walk, I want to come to church.
Amen.
I want to come to church. You say, well, why do you want to come to church so much? I want to come to church because Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself
That's
for
right.
the church.
Amen.
And because he loved the church, I love him.
Amen.
And the way that I can prove and show other people that I love him is by loving God's people.
Amen.
And,
right.
you know, I love this church no matter how pretty that it is and how nice that it is. If this church wasn't nothing but a log cabin sitting on the side of a hill, I'd love this church.
Amen.
It's something about this church, the people that's in it, that makes up the church.
Amen.
And God, somehow or another, has just put that deep into my heart to love this church.
Amen.
And no matter what comes my way, I'll always love East Lay Avenue Baptist Church.
Amen.
You know, Brother Joe asked me to preach or teach or give a testimony or whatever. And I said, well, maybe, I said to myself, I said, well, maybe I can give my testimony along with teaching and preaching. Maybe
Amen.
I can combine it all together, give him all three. But I don't know if that's possible or not, but I'll do my best. I'm going to have to stand up for a minute. I can't read. I can't see my book.
There you go. I'll leave it
here. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. If you go ahead and open your Bible, Revelation chapter number 1. I've been asked several questions concerning my illness and the thing that's happened to me. When they first discovered cancer on me, it'd be September 2 years ago. This coming September. And they said that with treatments, I'd have 6 months. Without treatment, possibly a year. And that's been quite a while ago. You say, well, that's not so long ago. Well, maybe not for you, but for me it is.
Yeah.
You see, every day that I live is a day of grace. God extends his grace to me. Because I shouldn't be here, according to the doctor's rule, but according to God's authority, I am here.
Amen.
And by his marvelous grace
Amen.
And his power, then I'm here standing behind this pulpit. I never thought I'd ever do this. I really didn't. I thought that my preaching, teaching would be over. But when I got the opportunity, I've been asked several times before, but I've been so weak I just couldn't do it. I wouldn't even attempt to do it. And it seemed like this past week, God's touched me more so than ever.
Amen.
I don't understand that. I haven't been sick at all, hardly this week. And of course, I haven't done anything except sit in a recliner and watch Sarah do all the work. But God knows what's best for us. And somebody's question that was asked me, they asked me, they said, what's it like to be alive and for the doctor to tell you you're supposed to be dead? Well, it's not much different than being dead and asking how to feel you're alive. It's not much difference. I kind of feel like a man that's on death row. You've heard that old saying, a dead man walking. Well, that's what I am in a sense. I'm just a dead man walking, waiting to God says, come up hither.
Amen.
And until then, until that day, then I'll keep on keeping on.
Amen.
And I'll keep loving Jesus Christ more than anybody or anything.
Right.
And this church, I love this church more than any church that I've ever been to. I love the people in this church. I try to express that from time to time to different people, and I do love you. And with a love that, not like physical love or anything like that, but I love you with a godly love.
Amen.
And that's what God's put into my heart. One of the questions I asked, they said, well, what are you going to do the rest of your life? How are you going to live the next few months? I just live it by God's grace. I tell people, they come down and shake my hand, they say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I take them one day at a time. If I get up and if I'm alive, I just praise God for it. If I don't wake up, then you praise God for it. Because either way, I'm a winner.
Amen.
So if I go, it's because that He's got something more for me to do up there. I was talking with Sarah the other day, and she said, you think we'll work when we get to heaven? I said, yes. And I really believe that.
Sure.
You say, how do you believe that? Because this world is going to keep going for 1,000 years after we go to heaven, for at least 1,000. Because that's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then all of us are going to come back with Him, riding upon those white horses, ruling the reign on this earth.
Right.
So I know for 1,000 years we're going to be working. Now, I don't know what kind of work that's going to be. I don't know what we'll do or how we'll do it. I don't know if we'll be in authority sitting behind a desk telling everybody else what to do, or if we'll be out there doing the labor ourselves. But it doesn't really matter.
Right.
We'll be
right.
Doing it for Him.
Amen.
I asked myself, I said, out of all the Word of God that's in there, all 66 books, what book really do you love best? What book really describes your life better than any other book? And I chose the book of Revelation. You open to chapter number 1. We'll begin reading verse number 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, who is an isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to his foot, and the girt and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which thou art, and the things which shall be hereafter. And the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Now the reason I chose this as a collection of verses that best fit how that I feel. I told you I love to come to church.
Amen.
And I love to come to church for one reason. And that reason is to be able to see the Son of God. Amen. John was on the island of Patmos for his testimony and for preaching the Word of God. He was cast out there on an island by himself, all alone, and they put him out there to die. And then on the Lord's Day, on a Sunday, the Bible says that John said that he was in the Spirit.
That's right.
He was worshiping God. Even though there was nobody else around him, he worshiped God.
Amen.
Sometimes I wonder how many of us would worship God if there was nobody there but just yourself. I wonder how many of us would really get down and get in the Spirit along with him and worship him. I asked myself the question, I said, Brother Bob, why do you think that's so? That's because that John loved the Lord Jesus Christ. When you study out about the man John, you'll find out that he loved Jesus all the way through. Even though when it came time for Jesus to be arrested, even though it came time for Jesus to be crucified, he followed him afar off. But how many of us haven't done the same thing? We followed Jesus afar off. But that never hindered the love that he had for Jesus. There was just a darkness there. There was something that overshadowed that made him walk afar off from God. Day after day, I pray unto God that God will help me not to walk afar off, but to be close to him.
Amen.
But with this man that followed him afar off, now he's writing the revelation that God, when God sent his angel down in chapter number 1 to reveal unto him what Jesus Christ looked like in his resurrected body, then God was showing you and I the love that had been so much restored unto him that he gave him, the only man on earth, the revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. What a relationship that he had with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When John had his back that day on the island of Patmos, he had his back and he heard a voice. And that voice was like a great trumpet sounding. And that voice said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last.
Amen.
What thou seest, John, you write in a book. And you sent it to the seven churches. The message that God gave John went to every church.
Amen.
What would it be like if God would allow you or me to be able to take a message to every church in Asia? Or how would it be like if God gave you and me a message to take to every church in Tampa, Florida?
Amen.
We have that message.
That's right.
And our problem is that we just don't deliver it. John said, and when he spoke, I turned. And I'd like to say this, that in this portion of Scripture that we read, if there's any one thing I want to do when my back is turned to God, that whenever he speaks, I'll turn. That whenever he speaks, I'll turn back unto him and look unto him. So many times we get so far behind God that we don't see anything. And the only thing that's on the other side between God is the devil, the thing that he wants us to see. And if we don't turn, then we'll keep getting farther and farther away from God. But when God spoke to him that day, he was in the Spirit, worshiping him. And when God spoke, he turned.
Yes.
So many times, our pastor will be giving the invitation, God will be speaking, and nobody turns. I sit back there and I say, I wonder why people don't turn. Wonder why they don't go forward and talk with God about whatever it is that's keeping them sitting back there. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's different things that hinders us from turning. Whenever I go to church, And these portions of Scripture says that when John turned, he saw Jesus, and Jesus was in the midst of the seven candlesticks.
Amen.
The seven golden candlesticks, and he said, that's a mystery. That's a mystery. The church is a mystery. It's hard to understand if you don't know anything about God or about His Word, how that a lost sinner can walk into a church, hear the Word of God being preached, and turn from sin to the Savior. What a mystery that is. That's a mystery. That's a mystery that God reveals. And then He tells us in verse number 20 of chapter 1, He said, the mystery of the seven stars, which I saw in my right hand, of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven pastors, or the pastor of that church. God has got the pastor in His right hand.
Right.
And nothing can harm him if God don't allow it.
Amen.
No power on the top side of this earth can hurt that pastor as long as God's got him in His right hand.
Amen.
He said the mystery of it. He said, I chose to hold the pastor in my right hand.
Amen.
Not the deacons.
Right.
Not the song leader. Not the musicians. Not the teachers. Not any of these. But He said, I chose to hold the pastor. And whenever you and I get to heaven, we may ask God, say, what's the mystery? Why did you just do that? Because I don't know. That's a mystery.
Yeah.
But then He does reveal, and in this scripture, He said these seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches.
Right.
Now, whenever John turned, when he heard that voice, he saw Jesus in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, or he saw Him in the midst of the churches there in Asia. And whenever you and I get to the point in our life that we're seeking something that we don't understand for, when we start looking for something that we don't fully understand, that we can't comprehend, we'll get our eyes open and we'll find Jesus Christ. But where's the best place to find Him at? In the midst of the church. You'll find Him.
Right.
He's always there.
Amen.
In the midst of the church.
That's good.
Not many times you'll find Him on a boat fishing somewhere. Because they know nowhere in the Word of God I find Him in the boat fishing. Oh, He eat fish. He had companionship with fishermen. Some of His disciples and apostles were fishermen.
Right.
But they nowhere that you ever find Him fishing. He told Peter, He said, go fishing. He said, the first fish that you catch, you look at his mouth and take those coins out, go pay your taxes and pay mine.
Mm-hmm.
When John and the other disciples were out fishing that one day and they caught nothing, Jesus had a meal already cooked.
Yeah.
Now, there's no record where He ever went fishing. So we can't say scripturally that we can meet Jesus Christ in a boat fishing somewhere, or on a mountainside hunting, or at the bingo place, or at the casino. We don't find Him there.
Right.
But we do find Him in the midst of the seven churches.
Amen. That's right.
That's where He's at. And whenever you and I need to get with God, we need to come to church. We need to come to church.
Amen.
And anything that I said, just like I said just a few minutes ago, there's any one thing I want to do, as long as I got breath in my body, I want to go to church.
Amen.
I want to go to church. First of all, I want to see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to see Him in the song service.
Amen.
I want to hear every song sung about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To lift Him up and magnify Him and glorify
That's
Him.
It. Yes, sir.
And then I want to see Jesus in the Sunday school.
Amen.
Where the teachers teach Sunday school and they teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
And rose again on the third day.
Yes.
And then in the preaching of God's Word, I want to be able to see Jesus Christ.
Lord,
if we don't have Jesus in our preaching, we're in a mess.
You're right.
We're in a mess. As I said back on the stool just now, I said I feel like a dignified television preacher. But how many of them preach and they never talk about Jesus Christ?
Right.
They talk about planting a seed. You send me $64 a month for 38 months, and God will give you this and God will give you that. You have no scripture for that.
That's right.
You don't have that.
Amen.
But God did promise you this. He said, I'll supply your need.
Right.
Every need that you've ever had, God supplied it. God supplied my need. I thought whenever I retired that I couldn't live. I said, I've been used to making a paycheck every week, and I had a paycheck coming in. I said, how in the world can I live? But God supplied that need.
Amen.
He supplied that need. Did you know I've got more now than I've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
You say, how much you got? I think I got about a dollar or something and change. But you know, but God has supplied. Remember, I'm not one hungry. I'm not one hungry.
Amen.
Because of food. I went hungry in the last few weeks because I was so sick I couldn't eat and nothing tastes good. But I've never went hungry because I didn't have it. I've had people come up and give me different things that helped me. Sometimes somebody will walk up to you and give you a card. Sometimes somebody will walk up to you and shake your hand and give you one of these cards to go out and eat with, whatever you call them. But God supplies the need, and He supplies each and every need. And whenever I come to church, I expect God to do that.
Amen.
Now, I expect Him to do it because He promised that He would do it. And He said He don't lie. And if He promised to do it, then we can expect Him to do what He promised. But also, He expects us to do what we promise Him.
That's right. Amen.
And we failed Him so many times.
Oh.
John said, I, John, was in the Spirit. Then he said, I, John, turned to see. Now look over in chapter number 21. And then let's look at something else John saw. You see, when right now I'm going through that phase of this sermon, I want to come to church to worship Him. I want to come to church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm looking also on the second rim of the rest of my life at what John saw here. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I look now, not for the seven golden candlesticks, but I'm looking for that new Jerusalem that's coming out of heaven, that's adorned as a bride for her husband. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Son of God.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to, in chapter number 4 of the book of Revelation, when He says, come up hither.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing that cry, and then I'll be able to see Him. Oh, what a sight that's going to be.
That's good.
We've heard for the last few weeks a lot about Dr. Martin Luther King saying, I have a dream, but I want you to know I've got a vision. One of these days, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ ascending out of heaven.
Amen.
And the thing about it is, I'm going to be with Him.
Amen.
I'm going to be with Him.
Praise the Lord.
And if you're saved by the grace of God, you'll be with Him.
Amen.
If you're not saved, you'll be left behind. And I hope and pray unto God that you're not that way.
Amen.
Oh, what John saw, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
And I saw the holy city. Jerusalem. Look at verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 1. He said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve Him. What a way to work in heaven, serving Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead. There shall be no night there, and they shall have no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever.
Amen.
And ever. Oh, the last thing that I'm looking at now, I'm looking for that holy city, the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
I'm looking for that river that's flowing out of the throne of God. And He tells me, and He promised me here in chapter 22, that He said, out of that river He's going to have the trees lined up and down that river that are producing fruit, and they'll produce fruit every month.
Amen.
Not just once a year. Right. By every month, 12 months out of a year, that produce fruit.
Right.
And that fruit will be ripe to our taste, and it will satisfy you and
That's
me.
Good.
Oh, what a promise he's made. And I'm expecting that.
Amen.
That's why I want to keep myself clean, pure, and as holy as I possibly can
Amen.
Here on this earth. So there'll be nothing that will hinder him and me whenever I get to heaven.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen.